We went down to Myrtle Beach a couple years ago and went to Barefoot Church. I was real excited. I was like, wow, this is going to be real grassroots, people loving on Jesus. And I was just had a whole different picture of what it was going to be like. You know, I was figuring these like, you know, real down to earth people. But it was nobody, everybody had shoes on, and they just called it Barefoot Church because that area is whatever. But barefoot, praise God. You're welcome to be barefoot here. Moses did it. It's all right. It's okay. Went down to the river to pray. That song, once you learn it, it's going to be in there. It's going to get in your craw. Praise God. So last week we were coming off of the place of Paul protecting and fighting and contending for the faith. That's faith in Christ and not in your works and impressing God. So the direction, it's a lot, I got to think simply so I can do it. Dick Anthony was just sharing that this morning. He's working with Dwight up at his place up there doing some roof work. And Dwight's like, how do you do that? You know, you got to sit down and do the blueprints and stuff. And he's, no, you just look at it. Dick was saying, you just look at it and it comes to you, you know. And that's our walk with Christ, is there's a looking at Christ and it comes to you. The receiving of the graces of God. It's a flow in the direction from heaven to you, out to others, and back to God, loving God. Instead of me working up and through my strength, trying to worship God, trying to love others out of my own resources. That is what Paul is trying to fight for, saying, no, don't fall back into that. You started off in the Spirit where God was, you know, enabling, and God is doing this. He's working miracles. The Word is coming powerfully. And why did you want to be perfected in the flesh? Why did you leave that powerful place to something where man was doing it? So that's the challenge, and that's Paul fighting for that. He gave a great testimony in chapter 2 about his personal relationship with the Lord. I am crucified with Christ. This is a good one to memorize. When somebody asks you what you believe in, what church you go to, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives in me. And I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and died for me. That's it, man. It's it in a nutshell right there. And if you forget all that, you could just say, I follow Jesus. But man, it really brings it out to bear. That's your personal relationship with the Lord. That's very much encouraged, very much taught in the American church that we're familiar with. Having that personal relationship with the Lord. We work on it. We work on it, we work on it, we preach it, we teach it, we gather around that idea. That's only half the idea. That's only going half the way. The other part is coming into the unity as a body of believers. This is what Christ would have us, not just to have this personal relationship, but bring that personal relationship into other people that have that personal relationship. And wow, what power is demonstrated. So that's why we're in the epistles. That's why we're excited. This is a year of jubilee, whatever that means, doesn't matter. But we're excited about what God is doing. He's stirring in the people. Praise the Lord. So we connected that last week, that personal relationship from chapter 2 to the end of chapter 3. Now he's talking about the body. For as many of you, in verse 27, have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. You are all, you all, y'all are one in Christ. Now I'm talking about more than a personal relationship, but a body that's one. That's a miracle like none other on this earth. I don't care if you pray for someone and their leg grows out. I don't care if you pray for someone and the cancer flies away. When you have a group of people with such diversity and differences and backgrounds that can get together and love each other, There is no greater miracle on this earth.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that right now, man, from 52 years of experience, okay? That's the greatest miracle. And Paul's going to talk about laboring for that as a woman labors, you know, and that's, there is no labor like that. There's hard work out there, but sorry, guys, but the woman topped the charts there on laboring. All right, let's begin chapter 4 with asking God to just bring peace now, Lord God, to this place. Sanctify this place, Lord Jesus, that we'd be able to hear your word, hear from heaven, and grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are. I pray you'd stir the hearts too, that there would be interaction today, Lord God, and there'd be a stirring of the minds and hearts that we could share with one another the things that are going on. And praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So God just reminded me that in prayer, you know, just to allow that time right now. You know, what's God doing? And I imagine that's the early Christians would do that. And we don't have to be different in that way. We could be the same. When we gather together, there should be report of what's happening in our life. You know, and that we would encourage each other with that. So praise God. What's going on?
Yeah. Thinking about what you said earlier as far as, you know, looking at blueprints and being able to determine, you know, how to do different things. But in our growth, Patty and I, there's, you know, praise God that there's a lot of times that, you know, and I used to think I was a pretty smart guy, that I knew everything, you know, but to be humble and being able to, if there's something I'm not too sure of or how we're going to do this or do that, to ask God for wisdom and how He intervenes and gets us through that and, you know, gives us the right answer. And usually the outcome of it is far better than if, oh, I know how to do that, and, you know, it's got to be done my way, and that kind of thing. That just allowing God to, you know, for things to play out, and how awesome that is to have that today.
Praise God. That's a mountain move, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice not have that mountain there.
Yeah.
That's in the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Obstacle, you know.
Man, you can see clearly now.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. What else is going on? Announcements, prayer requests, or things you want to share with the body? Any kingdom bounders here?
No, they're traveling back today.
Last day, they're not back yet.
Okay. They're traveling back. I thought it would be they would honor at least the Holy Grail there Sunday and bring Grail. People back Saturday, but okay.
We got our own little kingdom bound coming up in Camp Gregory.
Come on, talk it up.
Camp Gregory, right?
Camp Gregory, here we go.
Coming up.
What were the dates?
August 28th. Romans 8:28 is an easy way to remember it. It's going to be the theme of camp. God works all things to good for those that love Him or call according to His purpose. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I've got to get some keys for the Anthony's. They come early on Sunday, so I want to remember to do that. Very open to doing that. This building is this bottom part isn't for just a few people, but it's for everyone. So that, I mean, you should have keys if you come here regular and be able to use and meet with people here. If you need to, or, you know, have a Bible study or whatever, feel like it's your place completely, really. Always felt that way. Anybody else today besides Asher?
You can pray for my mom. I'm going to go see her today, but she's in her final stages of Alzheimer's. So she has stopped eating and drinking.
All right. Pray for Gretchen's mom. Our house is empty, too, so we're having a...
So sad.
A week of solemnness, the empty nest kind of stuff. But they're close by.
So,
not to make you feel bad.
We're seeing the video.
Okay.
I'll leave it up.
Yeah. That's how family devotions used to be. So if you're on Facebook, you could see our family devotion. We did a little sitcom on.
Try not to consume too much food.
Wait, Mindy hasn't seen it
yet. And that loneliness you're having there.
Sad,
it was amazing though, just that, like, if you try to open up the Word of God in your house, you will notice that the spiritual gets stirred and things are manifest around you. All of a sudden the dogs will get gas like they never had, and just strange things happen, and anything to interrupt.
Phone ringing.
Praise you, Father. Thank you, God, for your peace and your joy, Lord God, that we enjoy this morning. I pray you just anoint each one of us too, Lord, as we go through chapter 4 here. Amen. Glory to God. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. The idea of a child is used in so many different ways in the scripture. And it's not always good. Sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. It's just an illustration. So sometimes being a child is not a good thing in the context of how it's used, and sometimes it is. We enter the kingdom of God, we're saved like a child. You know, we simply receive it. A child doesn't go out and get a job and earn the meal that they had at your house. Obviously, they just receive it. That's how we receive the kingdom of God, as a child. And Jesus said, you must become like a child to receive the grace of God. It's nothing to do with you and your wonderfulness. Okay, so that's a good part of being a child, good illustration. Here is on the other side of the coin. And this is a child, when they're growing up, they haven't received the heir, the inheritance from their parents. The giving over of the property, the giving over of the dresser and all those things, that the heirlooms that happen. That's released when the parents release them to the children. So he's using that illustration in that sense. The child hasn't matured. The child hasn't grown up. This illustration is showing that they haven't been able to have that fullness of maturity to walk in this new inheritance thing that would be released to them. So these children are in bondage to the elements of the world, these things that are holding them back from receiving. And he's comparing this to the law, the Ten Commandments, Moses, the time, all the way back to Abraham and Hagar, the surrogate mom to Ishmael. Thank you. Looking for a little help there. So he's talking about Israel now. They were like this child that couldn't receive that inheritance. Hebrews 11 talks about faith. And he said, yet all these people died without receiving the promise. So they were like children under a tutor in that negative context, in the sense they couldn't quite receive that inheritance yet. It hadn't been released. But here's the good one. But God, verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So now, again, a use of, right in the same chapter here, the use of a child, the illustration of a child, but now it's in the good context. So don't lose that. And just in these few verses, it can be confusing, because in one sense, it's a child that's used in a negative context, not being able to receive because they haven't had that inheritance. But now the adoption of sons is being used. So in that sense, a child is the context that we want to focus on. That in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. A lifeguard on the beach, he has to, if he's going to rescue someone, he's going to get in the water. So Jesus came into the waters of humanity. He literally joined us by becoming us. That's an easy illustration to think. Why didn't God just wave his hand over humanity and heal us and bring deliverance that way and salvation? He had to get in the waters with us. Hebrews, the whole book, is a great study of that, the act of what Jesus did, him becoming man so he could rescue us. So that's an important study as well that the guys are in on Wednesdays. To redeem, that's to really, hey, let's go on Jaden, praise God. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Thank you, Lord. If it's a huge church, you can just walk in and nobody knows us, but hey, if it's little, we're going to know it. Wonderful to have you here. We love you very much, Jaden. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Is this the good kind of child or the bad kind, illustration-wise? Everybody awake?
No.
And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his son into your hearts, the Spirit of his son. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God, and here it's called the Spirit of his son. Well, which is it? Yes. Both. Triunity, it's one God. Into your hearts crying, Abba, Father. It's a good context. Yeah, I got a head nod at least back there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. It is hot. You are sons, and that is what Paul is fighting for. And so much he's gonna compare it to a woman that's like, ah! You know, and that she's delivering. It's in that time. She's in her time, and that no pain, nothing can compare to the joy that comes after either, right? Okay, that's what we're to focus on. And he's going to get to that, and how he's travailing, he's laboring for that until Christ is birthed in these people, that they really get it, that they're really grabbing a hold of this sonship, this daughtership, this being filled with the Holy Spirit, until their hearts are crying, Abba, Father. No longer, hey, am I okay with God and this fear of the lightning strike? And it's this God, I want to be with you. Lord, instruct me. Torah, you know, it means instruction. It's instruct me, God, today. Lord God, Roger was sharing just a few minutes ago about that. God, I know what my opinion, I know how I would have handled this in the past. And that's always been, that's an obstacle now. God, that's gone. I want to hear from you. God, instruct me. Instruct me. Teach me, Lord God. Even if it's not something that's come in your life and is before you like an issue, it could be just, Lord, I'm out here. Just teach me something. Show me something in nature. Show me something, God. I'm with you. I want to hear from you. You know, that spirit he's put in with us cries out that now. It wants to spend time with the Father. Show me your power and your awesomeness just right now. Teach me, God. I want to be your child. Praise God. That's beautiful. You are sons. Now, if you're a lady, you can take that as daughter, but I got to tell you something. We're all called the bride of Christ, and so the guy's got to deal with that. So when it says sons, you know, I don't feel bad. I don't feel too bad. You are sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Oh my goodness. This is good news. This is such good news. Crying, Abba, Father. This is beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. And we are bringing good news. We're not bringing judgment. Jesus said, I didn't bring judgment. I didn't come to condemn the world. Yeah, the world's already condemned, He said. We know that. He came into the waters to rescue, to redeem, not to come out to the person drowning. Well, you should have wore a life jacket. Bonk. Or you should have, would have, could have. You should have swum out. You should have paid it. You should. You know, and these people are drowning. Man, give them the life jacket. Amen. Buoy them up with the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Love on people. There's some type of ministry going around that's just giving out hugs now. I don't know if it's based on anything of biblical. But I know that people are crying out for the nation to have a turnaround for our country and the hatred to cease. I know that's been on Roger's heart a lot when we're in prayer meetings. Thank you, Lord. So verse 7, now the two children are contrasted. The one that's a child that's under the parents, and the other one that has been set free. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So I'm still a son of my mom, Petrina, and my dad, Edward. You know, I'm still a son, but there's something different now. You know, I'm a son in a different context. I'm not under their authority anymore. I've been set free. They've given me things. They've helped me out with school, helped me out with my first car, an AMC Hornet 1976. Beautiful car. Yes. When it hit 55, the roof rack would raise up like this. And I left it that way because it made people notice, and I liked the attention, I guess. And they would always point. And I would pretend I didn't know what this. But I'm still a son, but it's different context. So that's the contrast here. I'm not a son as in I'm waiting for it to be released. I've been fully released from them. Praise God. I still love them and all of that, and still a son. Do you get it? So it's pretty cool contrast here. And we are heirs of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. I was going to get back to now talking about them falling away from this relationship, this endearing relationship with God. and going back to these things that aren't even God. They're just physical things. They're not God at all. They're like shadows. Interesting, he talks about holidays here, or holy days. You observe days and months and times and years. We call them holidays, but they're really holy days. They're days, holy means it's something set apart. We set apart a day and say, okay, this is the day of our nation's independence. That's our most recent one. That's holy. It's set apart. It's holy because of that. It's not holy in a godly sense necessarily, but it's holy in the generic term that it's been set apart for special purposes. We should make it holy in the sense of giving thanks to God for allowing our nation to be free and all of that. But really, a holiday is a holy day. It's something that's set apart. And he's saying that you're holding on to some of these things as if they were God himself, as if they were the real substance. And he's going to say, these are the shadows of things. And we can tend to go back to the shadow because that's something we're comfortable with, we're something we're familiar with. So we gravitate back to those things. So verse 10 brings this out. You observe days and months and times and years. And I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. He's going to talk about this labor, very intense labor, later in the chapter. Paul doesn't say I'm afraid too much. Not too much at all. No. Shipwrecked, beaten with rods, and you know, dead, delivered to heaven, basically, come back. And after being beaten, what does he do? Runs right back into town. He's had prophetic visions prophesied over him, very true. You're going to suffer great things. And you would think that, you know, and the people around him saying, oh, praise God, he got a prophetic word of warning. So he's not going to go into Jerusalem. He's not going to go into there. You know, he's been warned. Huh. And Paul's saying, I'm going in. And thanks for the warning. And thanks for the heads up so I know what's coming at me. You know? So sometimes we assume that it's, you know, the safe thing is the right course, and that it's the narrow way. There's only one way. It's following Jesus. And that's what he was doing. He didn't have a death wish. He was following Jesus. So it's very evident that there wasn't much fear, but here he says, I'm afraid. About what? The same thing I'm afraid for as being a pastor, a teacher, that there'd be something that creeps into your life that takes away the beautiful grace of God. It takes away your daughtership, your sonhood. There's something that steals and robs that. A little chihuahua nipping at your heel, a little lie from the devil. Well, that's a healthy fear for a pastor, but not only a pastor, for a parent. Not only a parent for a believing Christian that's got other people in their life that they're helping, they're discipling along. So that's a healthy fear. That's part of being in a body, that we look out for each other in that sense. What are the things that are going to rob each other from being that fullness of being a son or a daughter? Why would we shortchange the blood that was shed for me and you? If we see somebody that is just, you know, the enemy is robbing them or something's happened in their life where they feel less than a son or a daughter, that's when we step in and we encourage and we edify. That's part of being a body. It's so important. You want to talk about these days and months and times and years? Anybody have any discussion about that? The things that we observe as a church body here or in our country, our culture?
Pastor Appreciation Month.
What?
When is that?
I didn't expect that one. I was expecting the big two. But go ahead. What about it? Are you just being funny?
Not really.
They've set apart a specific month. We make sure your pastors feel appreciated.
You think that's a good thing?
Oh, was that the question?
No, I was just... Well, what's happening here in context is they're starting to hold on to these things as if they brought life, and it's the substance of God in their life.
Okay, yeah. So I think a lot of people feel like pastors need that. Pastors need that appreciation. Pastors do a lot. You know, pastors, they give a lot of their time in their life, but it's not really for your glorification. It's for God's glorification. So they've taken their eyes off of what God's doing through that pastor. taking their eyes off of God and the gift that God's giving them with that pastor, like that gift that the Lord's given that pastor, kind of building the pastor up rather than looking at the source of that gift.
I would agree with that. I don't really care for that month. But that's a whole month, my goodness. I mean, Mother's Day, she only gets a day. She should get she should get 365. I'm not into the. Paul, praise God, he says, you know, to some, every day is alike. That's the camp I live in. But I can appreciate people that don't live there. And certain days are very special to them. But I can't relate to that. But I do respect it. But I do want to get other people's input on it. I mean, when I give my input, everybody's like, well, I should follow suit. No, don't do that. All right, I'm just a brother in the Lord. I'm clay along with everybody else, filled with the Spirit of God. All right? Anybody else? Any thoughts on that or concerns or questions even? Paul's afraid of this. I mean, there should be some conversation here. Paul's afraid of this. He's not afraid of anything, of death. Oh, nothing matters to him. His life doesn't matter. And his past, his reputation, doesn't matter. He's afraid of these holy days, these things that people have set separate. Why? Come on, what's going on?
I think that people tend to worship things and things of the world rather than God when they set apart a day specifically for something.
Why do you think they do that?
Because as human beings, we like to have tangible things, and God is not really tangible. He's real, but he's not something you can put your hands on. He's not something you can see. Mm-hmm. The only way you can see him is through his creation, and that's difficult for some people. So they create icons, idols, that they can actually see and touch and feel. And I think their worship tends to go from the living God to an inanimate object. Or perhaps a thought that they have, or an idea, rather than where it needs to be.
Amen.
Those things bring like sensory pleasure, kind of what you're saying, right?
Yes. Yeah. It brings a false sense of joy and happiness and peace.
And it could be a letdown sometimes because it doesn't happen, and a lot of imagine the fights that happen on these holidays or holy days that because of there's so much expectation, and that I'm going to get blessed. It becomes a very selfish kind of thing. So if it goes in that direction, not to bash it and some. Try not to make a negative spin on it, but it is coming from that context in this passage here, that people are holding on to something in the wrong way, as Terry is talking about.
Just looking back to myself, is how holidays or holy days, I was celebrating them all wrong, you know, and how I see that so much of that today that, you know. People think it's just a big party rather than it being the real reason of why.
Amen.
You know, we're here and what it's for.
It's for a barbecue instead of, okay, why are we taking Memorial Day off and, you know, and...
Too much of that. Yeah. And I'm guilty of that too. I used to do that, you know, the same thing, but how I look at things differently today and praise God for that. And I'd like to share something, if I may.
Sure.
That I was thinking of as we were reading through this is... the Father and the Son, that how I look myself, look to the Father and to God, and to try to be a better father today than I wish I'd seen earlier in life. But I was thinking back to how the years that I had, I wasn't doing that. I wasn't being the father that I should have been because of those things, you know. And also thinking back to how I didn't have that relationship with my dad, and my own dad, that because I thought that I wasn't getting the love that I deserved or getting the things that I deserved growing up, that you know, because he was working three jobs or wasn't maybe as good at it as I thought he should be, And just thinking that I praise God and I'm glad that I had the opportunity before my dad passed on to have that relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And how I wasn't being the son either at those times.
Mm-hmm.
And appreciating that you know, but I'm glad that I had the opportunity to have that relationship with him before, you know, and talk about those things. That, you know, just because I didn't feel that I was getting what I deserved, and, you know, was it my own, that one of those obstacles, you know, that I'm so glad that I got through and over, and that God has changed that for me.
You know. Awesome. Glory to God.
I'm walking it down to one day a week that we gather to worship, you know, with, you know, trying to stand your ground on, well, it should be Saturday, it should be Sunday, it should be, you know, whatever.
Okay, so church being a one hour, one day a week kind of thing, and that being a substance and for many. Yeah. I definitely grew up in the extreme of that, knowing that that's, you had to do that. You had to do that mass thing, and then you recovered for that week, you know. Mm-hmm. You could do whatever else you wanted.
I think it's kind of like, my family always gets together during a lot of different holidays, and you even hear some of them kind of say, like, if we had to do this all the time, we just, you know, we'd probably kill each other.
True.
I think a lot of times we use holidays as like a, okay, we can get together with the family for this day and deal with it for that day and put on a smile for that day and then go about your rest, or even your friends for that day. I can continue on my life, but it's sad to kind of say that that day should be that holy day, that that should be a set apart thing in your life, that you should really be loving on your family and your friends every day, not use those as excuses to put on a smile or have a good time with them in that moment, but putting up with people in their bad times all the time.
Yeah.
Amen. Could someone give me an opinion on what they think about Thanksgiving and Christmas, two American holidays, and how they compare to each other, and what your experience is like? Do you enjoy one versus the other? How they differ?
Turkey.
You can eat turkey on either. What? You eat turkey then ham, or is that how it works? Okay.
I would say I like Thanksgiving better. And of course, like Christmas, because you're acknowledging what the Lord has done. He's actually sent His Son to die for you. But for Thanksgiving, you know, one of those things that we do on Thanksgiving is we actually go around the table and we say what we're thankful for, and that always comes out even on that day. You know, every day we think about that and we're thankful for that salvation. So even on Thanksgiving, you go even past just that. I mean, that should be every day, but you start to think about all these things that you're thankful for that the Lord's doing in your life. It's just a lot more giving glory to God in other areas of your life that you're not really thinking about all the time.
Amen.
I would have to agree with Maddie to a certain degree that Christmas in our society has become a very me-oriented holiday. And even those who celebrate because of the birth of Christ, incorporate the me part of it into that. And Thanksgiving is still very much giving thanks. Even if they're giving thanks for a football game or a parade, they're still giving thanks. And I think that it has its downfalls. You know, gluttony is a sin. But I think it does give more thanks to the Lord than Christmas does. I think it brings more glory to Him.
I think it brings people together for more of the right reasons.
Yeah.
As far as family, friends.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just, you know, you gotta bring gifts and all that.
Yeah.
It's
right.
Not about that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the true, I guess, why it started. Giving thanks.
Amen.
It's very true. Christmas here, like this. Oh man, I didn't get them.
A lot of times, it's like people say the Hallmark holidays and stuff, how people have gotten away from what really them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some of them are made up and gotten away from the real meaning. far as Christmas and stuff.
I like the Norman Rockwell picture of the whole family being around the table and being thankful, you know, and where today it don't happen so much, you know, but just to be thankful on that day that we had family get together and, you know, that we, the things that we can be thankful for when God provides. And it's deer season then, too, so.
Yeah.
We're thankful for that.
Yeah.
As creatures.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's something's happened in our culture in the past few years where the Black Friday's been there for a while, but now it's like Black Thursday, even on the afternoon of Thanksgiving. Christmas has encroached that one day that has been kind of clean from the commercial attack. Anybody notice that? Was that just last year?
Crazy every year. Like, I hate that they do that. That's a day for families to get together.
Yeah.
Thanks. Now it's about shopping.
Mm-hmm. And you can run into that risk even with Thanksgiving, because, you know, if you think, you talked about the Norman Rockwell picture, well, does the majority of our country even have the Norman Rockwell picture? So, you know, it's yet another opportunity for people to say, well, I don't have family, you know, and just feel isolated and alone. So I'm not trying to, I love it. I love Thanksgiving.
I wish that.
Invite people in, maybe, yeah. That you know that.
That's a good thought, yeah.
I was kind of relating to that, not only, you know, for Thanksgiving, but families have fell away from that. It's, you know, sitting down at the dinner table together. You know,
yeah.
It's such a fast-paced world today that mm-hmm. nobody takes the time to, you know, to sit down and talk about how your day went or, you know, any of that.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes they don't have anybody to sit down with.
Right.
I know, but mm-hmm. it used to be, you know, even, what did you do back then, you know? Mm-hmm. But to cherish those times that you do have, though, wouldn't you? You know, you can do that.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
It's not like in my house, it's not very often for everything. We're always going, you know, so when we actually sit down for a meal, everything's shut off. There ain't no TV. There's no electronics. Yeah. The phone rings, we let it ring.
Good.
You do that all the
time. I know.
We don't pick up. We get sales calls.
Because it's time for us to interact, and we don't get to do that a lot.
Right.
Work schedules.
Yeah. Let's praise God. It's good spirit-led conversation here, and also to be mindful that to include other people too. Gretchen was talking about hear that, and it doesn't have to be a holiday, you know, just right. to have people over for lunch and
right.
get more connections going that way. But getting back to the context here, some about the holidays or the holy days, I kind of relate it to if I were to sum up my relationship with Gretchen and the Ten Commandments of marriage. I observe Valentine's Day, I get her candy on Valentine's Day, and on her birthday, I take her to Dickman Farms and she can pick out flowers, and on Mother's Day, I go to Dickman's again because I don't know what else to do, and so I have these things, and I have, okay, as long as I meet these things, and I'm being a good husband, what's wrong with that? And that's what's being brought out here on the chapter. Is that the Ten Commandments, the law, these holidays, these holy days, are never to be the substitute of your relationship and loving God.
Amen.
It's easier to look at it, I can look at it in a relationship with a human to understand that. But we're to have a relationship that is of that type with God, to have that Abba Father, to have that Father Son, Father Daughter, that dear love between the two, and listening, and God, teach me today, and wanting to be with you. God, show me what you have for me to see today and walk in. And not just, okay, these 10 things I am in these holy days I've observed. You know, I did Resurrection Day and I spent time with the family. And you get these check-off things. That's the idea that Paul is fighting against. He said that you're being robbed then from being a son or daughter and the fullness of it. Not that there's something wrong in these things in themselves. They become wrong when they become a substitute from real relationship. when it's just a box of chocolates or it's a trip to the Dickman's farm to get flowers and there's no heart left anymore, it's no good. And that's the whole idea of our life with Christ. There's love going on vertically and horizontally all the time. Amen. So yeah, it's a good healthy fear. I'm afraid for you guys that you would lose relationship and you would drift off or grow cold from that because of these things and getting busy in the church and let's do this, let's do that and have all kinds of stuff, yet we've left our first love. So we need to be on guard with that and with each other and be mindful of that. Brethren, I beseech you in verse 12, be as I am, for I am as you are, and you have not injured me at all. What's he talking about there? They're a little bit offended at Paul because he's talking about Christmas or whatever it was, whatever holy day. He's talking about things like, whoa, don't go there. Don't mess with that. And all of a sudden they're offended. You know, you could talk about stuff all day long that doesn't offend people and they're like, yeah, yeah, good, amen. And then you touch that one area. You know, Dove soap. There used to be a commercial with how, you know, the commercial would come on and it was flowery music and gentle music. By the way, Dick has repaired the violin. If you want to get into playing the violin, it's repaired now and he even found a bow, the thing that strokes it at a garage sale, right? So, and a snare drum. So he's the music department. Go see him. So anyway, the violin's playing and it's just like, that they're going to present the soap and make Jaden want to buy Dove soap, some pink Dove soap, and just, he's going to want it.
Yeah.
It's so gentle and all of this. But you ever get that? I've used that stuff before, and I'm like, oh, yeah, it's so gentle. Then, oh! It gets in your eye, and it's like gasoline poured in your eye. It's like, this stuff ain't gentle. This was what's happening here with the people of Galatia. He's touched on a tender subject. It's like, don't go there, Paul. All right, you can preach grace all day long, talk about the cross, but don't mess with our Christmas. Don't mess with our Easter, Resurrection Day. Don't mess with these things. You know, these are tender areas, and Paul's saying you need to let go because you're not. You can let go and then come back to these things in freedom. Freedom. When you celebrate the holidays culturally in true freedom, it's different than being in bondage to them. I've got to get gifts. I've got to do this. I've got to do that to make sure that I still belong to this family or this church or whatever it is. When it's the got to and you're not free, let it go. Just let it go. Then come back to it in freedom. Let it die. He's given provision for all of us to allow these things to die. God, I reckon this crucified. And Thanksgiving's been messed up all year, every year for the last 5 years. God, it's just dead right now. Resurrect whatever it is, whatever you'd have me to do, I want you to lead it now. And all of these things you give over to God, and you want the reality of God in these things now instead of it being the slave thing. You hear it? You hear what Paul's preaching? Not this Paul, but coming from here, the Holy Spirit, what's being taught. Instead of being a servant, I'm serving these things. Serving these things as if they were God. I've got to get out there, black market or whatever it is, Black Friday, Thursday. I've got to do it. And you know, that sweaty fever, you know, people trampling each other and sometimes getting killed over these things. What's going on? Man, we're serving a false idol when that's happening. That stuff needs to die. It needs to die. We're not servants to these things. We're free. Amen. And that's going to be the conclusion and the beginning of the next chapter. Stand for free in these areas. Many can enjoy them so much more. Just like every day can be enjoyed. You can make the most of these times because you're free from it. It doesn't own you anymore. You're not there to perform. You're not being accepted in your marriage or in your family or your church because you attend or you how many gifts you bought or whatever it is. You see the difference. It's so important. So he got the dove soap in the eyes in verse 12. That's what's happened. And literally, Paul had issue with his eyes, so it's a good analogy. You know how through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. Someone else just got soap in their eyes back there. Everybody doing okay? Paul the Apostle had a problem in the flesh. He was physically sick. He had a problem, and we think it was his eyes, because he's going to say, you would have gave me your eyes. That's not an expression like, I would have gave you this shirt off my back. There is no expression that says, you would have gave me your eyes. All right, so that's literally being talked about, and we're pretty confident he had a type of conjunctivitis that was rampant in that area. Something like that. That's what the theologians say. Who cares? It was an infirmity of the flesh. He had a physical sickness. Paul, the great apostle. There will be people today from the prosperity gospel that's out there that would say, Paul never was physically sick. Never. Okay, here he's saying it. It's so clear in the text. He had a physical infirmity. And he's relating back to this time because they received him even though he had this weakness. He had this problem. It was probably hard to look at him, whatever it was. And they received him anyway. It was something visible, so it wasn't hidden. Sometimes we have injuries, we can hide them pretty well. We have something gross going on, we can hide it. We could cover it over. But I think it was something very visible. I have the tendency to think it was his eyes. It's pretty obvious. Okay, verse 13. You know how through infirmity of the flesh, very clear, sickness of my physical body, I preached the gospel unto you at first. And there, most of the translations here, the context of this is that the actual physical infirmity brought him to this area for whatever reason. So it had purpose to it. And in physical infirmity, we think, well, that's a weakness, that you've got to get healed, and that strength, not necessarily. Through infirmity, we can find great strength in God. It's through the trial of infirmity, the patience of Job is realized, and there's fruit in it. I don't wish sickness on anybody. I want to get healed as soon as it's available. I encourage other people to do so, and encourage the laying on of hands to be healed as soon as possible. But when it comes to dealing with something that when the healing doesn't come that soon, and you're going to grind through it, maybe even through a lifetime until you're delivered up to heaven, that there's going to be good things that can come from it. I'll hear testimony after testimony after testimony. I see person after person after person that God has used an infirmity, a weakness, in such a great way that he was glorified in it. So I don't run away from the people that have infirmity and say, you got to get healed or you're not walking in faith. Certainly don't do that. That's the prosperity gospel. But I will pray for them. Because the compassion wells up in you and the person that is hurting, obviously, is to see them healed. That's to the best of our ability. That's the best of our knowledge, is to give that person the grace of healing as soon as possible. And my temptation, or my trial, verse 14, which was in the flesh, in my body, you despise not. You didn't turn it away. It's like, oh, we got this guy, he's got, it's gross, whatever it was. Nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus, hearing the words that he had and taking it as the Holy Spirit breathed, that scripture. Wow, that's amazing. There are two thieves on the next to Jesus. There was one on one side and crucified on the other. Jesus was in the middle. Speaking of infirmity, he was just mutilated. He was in shreds, his body broken for you and me, bleeding there, in agony. And then taking on my disgusting sin on top of that, which they couldn't see. But that was just the part of it, the superficial, what they could see, these two thieves. One despised him because he was in a position that wasn't powerful, that wasn't great. He was physically defeated there. And the thief looked at him and one of them railed against him. And had that prideful attitude of putting Jesus down because he was in that humble place of being crucified. The most, you know, we exalt it. We're like, the cross, the cross. We wear gold ones. That's all right. But, I mean, you think about it, it's the It is the most disgusting place, the place of most, the lowest place you could be on this earth, to be humiliated naked on a cross in front of everybody in shreds, to show that, you know, Rome is powerful and you're not. And there he was, God the Son, for you and me, in shreds. And one response would be to despise him. The other would be, wow. Wow. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know that there was something there. There was beauty there besides the mutilated body. That God loved man so much that he would send his son. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. I want to follow you, even if it's on this cross that I'm on right now. For the last moments of my life, I want to follow you. I want to be that son. They received Paul in this way. They didn't despise whatever physically was showing on him, as if it was weakness. Where is then the blessedness that you spoke of? Where'd it go? This acceptance of me and believe in me and that God had sent me while the soap got in the eyes. This is part of being in a body, folks. We'll say something that's of truth that's going to sting. That's okay. Don't run away. That's part of being in the body. It's called reproof and correction. Right? It should be done in a spirit of humility. Sometimes it's not. Okay? It's not delivered up perfectly all the time. But don't run away. Don't freak out when the Dove soap gets in the eyes and something burns. It's not all about, oh, violins playing and, you know, and it's this wonderful stuff. It gets in your eyes and it's supposed to hurt sometimes. The truth needs to work in you. Surgery cuts. The truth divides. It gets in there, divides between the joint and the marrow. It's living, it's powerful. It's supposed to operate on you. It's not just supposed to make you feel good. It's supposed to do that too. It's supposed to edify and encourage. But there's quite a powerful delivery of the Word of God and truth in our lives. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Because I got that soap in your eyes? In verse 16. I missed verse 15 altogether. Where'd the blessedness go? Where'd that reception go? For I bear you record that if you had been possible, referring back to then when they first received them, you would have plucked out your own eyes and had given them to me. That's how they received him originally. They had fallen away from that grace, that love, and that compassion. They had become more works-oriented, and they're starting to get a little edgy now, irritable, because now it's about, I'm serving this thing. I'm serving Christmas. I'm serving my wife. I've got to do this in order to be a husband, and instead of just allowing real, true relationship to flow. Praise God, man. Man, he's called you to some awesome things. Mm-hmm. It hasn't entered into your mind. It hasn't entered into the mind of man. How wonderful the things that God has prepared for us. Man hasn't even entered in. There's so much awesomeness in following Jesus Christ. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Be bold with the truth. People will they'll react with that stinging. Ah! They'll react in all certain ways. All of a sudden, they're your enemy because you're giving them the truth. They zealously affect you. Now, talking about the Judaizers, talking about the legalists that are coming in and robbing them from their sonship and their daughtership. But not well, yes, their intentions aren't good for you. They would exclude you, that you might affect them, that you would start serving their process, their church, their go to their, follow them. But it's good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. So it was very secret, these things that were going on. It was never in front of the pastor, Paul here, the preacher. You know, when he came in town, they just kind of disappeared. They would just come in like a bad smell, you know, and it says stealthily sneaked in, and they're robbing them from their sonship, their daughtership. My little children, praise God, verse 19. Of whom I travail in birth. There it is. I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you. Wow. Oh my goodness. Don't grow weary in well-doing. There's people that God has put in your life. How far do you go with it? When do you give up? Well, I've been doing for... When do you give up? When does a woman give up on the delivery table? No, okay, we're done. We're going to go home. Put a cork in it. You know, until the child is born. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Let's do that for each other. Until Christ is formed in us, until we all become into the unity of the body, the Son of God, a perfect man, the measure, full stature of Christ. God, let's do that in each other. Let's travail in birth till Christ is formed in each one of us in the fullness. Let's be on guard for those things that would rob from our liberty. I desire to be present with you, and now to change my voice. He's got to change that. He's got to go into the tone of being corrective. For I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abram had two sons, the one of a bondmaid and the other of a free woman. Now he's going to go into another illustration. He's bringing them through several illustrations. One, a human contract, and now he's going to bring them into the illustration of Abraham and his two sons. We're going to pick up there next week. Let's sing together. Let's be encouraged in the Lord. Let's receive the Holy Spirit. I got a testimony from Holly, the teacher. Just Gretchen and I received it when we were babysitting Asher. And how she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit just during praise and worship. Sometimes it comes with a laying on of hands. And sometimes it's just desiring and just worshiping God. And the evidence starts coming. The inflow happens. She was learning French. And God totally changed her calling to be a Spanish teacher. She had been trained to be a speech therapist. I'll let her give her testimony sometime. But it's a powerful one. But to make it short, she received that gifting of the Holy Spirit and that change of direction, the empowerment to know what God has called her to do, to teach Spanish. The kids over here, Josh and Jaden, all these kids. Asher, she said someday. She got that empowerment just from loving on God. So I encourage you to do that this morning. Abba, Father, let the Spirit of God cry out in your heart. Amen. If you have a praise, if you have a word from the Bible, verse you want to, a song you want to bring forward, just allow the Spirit to move upon your hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I lift up Chris Gosh to you, our beloved brother. He's been with us for a couple months now, and his back, I believe, has gotten laid up. He's been laid up for a week, I know, and he's reading and doing stuff, but I know he wants to be healed. Father God, we want to stand in for him right now and believe in that healing and trust, Lord God, that you have him right now, Lord Jesus Christ. Bring to bear, Lord God, the power and the manifest glory, Lord Jesus, in his body, Lord God. be with him now in mind and spirit and body, dear Jesus Christ. I pray a blessing over his whole family, dear God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Praise you, God, for everybody that's here today, Lord. I'm so grateful that everybody, Lord, and that we love them like you love us, Lord, and that that we can all be here and sharing your love and your truth, Lord, the opportunity to change our lives for you, Lord. So grateful for that. Pray for those that aren't here today, Lord, that where their travels or wherever they might be going, Lord, we just pray that they seek you, Lord, and pray for their safety, and we love them too, Lord.
Can you finish with that song? Gresha, I just love that song a lot.
Okay.
Just and we'll close in prayer, and then we're dismissed with this song today. Father God, I agree with Roger, and to say amen to that, and glory to you, Lord God. Use us mightily, Lord God, even when the soap hits our eyes, Lord God, help us through those times.
Amen.
That we would learn and come through that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and we shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down to the river to as I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down, come on, brothers, let's go down, down. Song, then yeah.
You're gonna see this dude melt.
Woo!
That's good.